Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. Have you ever heard of rewilding before? If you listen to our show a lot, you might have heard about this special method of helping nature fix itself. Imagine if a place, like a forest, river, or meadow, got a little out of balance because people built things there or animals disappeared. Rewilding means stepping back and giving nature what it needs so that it can grow strong again. That might look like planting native plants that used to grow there, letting rivers flow more naturally, or bringing back animals that once lived there. All over the world, conservationists are involved in rewilding different environments and reintroducing various species, depending on where they live. Today, we're going to hear about some efforts to rewild the prairies throughout the Great Plains in the United States, with one little creature in particular, the black-footed ferret.
Holy cow, here's this species we thought that was extinct that is now alive again.
This is Travis Livieri. He's a wildlife biologist and the founder and director of an organization called Prairie Wildlife Research, which has a mission to conserve native species of the prairie. Travis has done a lot of work with the black-footed ferret. Have you ever heard of ferrets before? If you have, you're probably familiar with the types of ferrets that people keep as pets. Pet ferrets are small, playful animals with long, bendy bodies, very short legs, and soft fur. They're curious and love to explore. Ferrets sleep a lot, but when they're awake, they're full of energy and love to play. There are also wild ferrets, like the black-footed ferret Travis studies. Unlike domestic ferrets, black-footed ferrets have a complicated past, and people once thought they were extinct. Until a dog named Shep made an important discovery.
There were actually people out searching for populations of black-footed ferrets, but they didn't find any. And then in a small ranch outside Meteetse, Wyoming, on September 26, 1981, a ranch dog named Shep had an encounter at his food dish one night. A little creature came in, possibly to eat some dog food. Being the good ranch dog that he was, Shep defended his food dish and his territory, and he killed this little creature. And the next morning, his owners, John and Lucille Hogg are their names, came outside and saw this strange little creature that Shep had killed. And John picked it up and looked at it and said, "Wow, that's kind of a neat looking thing." And they kind of speculated as to what it might be, and they weren't sure. But John then threw it onto the garbage pile. And it sat there for the better part of the day until his wife, Lucille, said, "Hey, we're going to go to town today. Why don't you grab that creature off the pile? We'll take it to the taxidermist and we'll get it stuffed." And luckily, the taxidermist knew what it was and called it in. And that's how we rediscovered black-footed ferrets, a species that was thought to be extinct.
Even though it's sad that this one black-footed ferret died, it was so exciting to learn that there were still black-footed ferrets in the wild. People thought that black-footed ferrets on the Great Plains had gone extinct because of human settlers on the plains.
As the Great Plains were settled, and we started to do homesteading and farming and ranching and things like that, we simply just plowed over a lot of the native prairie. And that included prairie dog colonies.
Wait, Travis said prairie dog colonies, not black-footed ferret colonies. What do ferrets have to do with prairie dogs?
Black-footed ferrets are specialist predators, and they specialize on prairie dogs. We only find them on prairie dog colonies, and they only use prairie dog burrows to complete their life history. That's it. So we cannot talk about black-footed ferrets without talking about prairie dogs, because they provide the habitat for black-footed ferrets. And that's the only place that we have black-footed ferrets.
I get it. Black-footed ferrets move into the burrows that prairie dogs build for their homes. And then, if you can believe it, they eat those prairie dogs to survive. Talk about a bad house guest. But that also means that if something bad happens to the prairie dogs, then something bad is going to happen to the ferrets.
So a lot of, say, central Kansas was prime prairie dog habitat, and a lot of black-footed ferrets were there and simply got plowed over. And prairie dogs were determined to be pests, and so the government actually made an estimate that X number of prairie dogs eat this much grass, which is equal to this many cows. That kicked off a lot of the prairie dog poisoning campaigns, which were geared at eradication of prairie dogs across the West. Trainloads of strychnine lace bait were sent out west to kill prairie dogs. And so no one was ever out to kill black-footed ferrets, but everything that happened to prairie dogs is what sucked black-footed ferrets down that vortex of extinction.
Black-footed ferrets weren't just in trouble because of the prairie dogs. They were also threatened by sickness.
Plague is not native to North America. It entered in the port of San Francisco in 1900, and it's transmitted by fleas. And so fleas on rodents is what's killing those rodents. And so it still exists in California and other places across the West, but it kills prairie dogs. The prairie dogs would be victims of plague. So they would be hosts. And so the vector would be the flea that is biting the host and transmitting that bacterium into the bloodstream. And so we actually have two things going on with plague. It actually kills prairie dogs and it kills black-footed ferrets. So even if a black-footed ferret isn't bitten by a flea, it might eat a prairie dog that recently died of plague and taking a massive oral ingestion of the bacterium.
Even though many experts thought that the black-footed ferret was wiped out by these threats, Shep the Dog's discovery in the 1980s revealed that there were still black-footed ferrets in North America. But they weren't out of the woods just yet. In the 1980s, there were still a lot of threats to ferret health, like Sylvatic plague, and eventually, the conservationists had to make a decision to help preserve the ferrets.
Sylvatic plague, which is the same Black Death that kills people, was killing the prairie dog population. And then canine distemper, similar to what your dogs can get, was also killing the black-footed ferrets. So they had to make a hard decision. They knew that there was a couple left out in the wild. So they went out in the summer of 86 and found them and then captured them up over the fall of 86. So we have 17 in captivity in the fall of 86. And we start getting into breeding season into the winter of 86, 87, and it's not looking good. They're not pairing up well. They're not looking like they're going to have a successful breeding season in captivity. They knew of one ferret still out in the wild. They didn't see him, but they could follow his tracks in the snow back to a single burrow. And so they set a trap on that burrow and waited for 5 nights. 5 consecutive days of that trapping on that burrow, and that ferret finally came into it. This was February 28, 1987, and it was an old grizzled male, and they took him into captivity, and he bred everybody. So it came down to the very last black-footed ferret from the tsetse population to save the captive breeding effort.
Even though there weren't black-footed ferrets out in the wild, the ferrets in captivity were able to have baby ferrets and increase their numbers, saving the species.
That dramatic rescue of those last 18 and pulling them into captivity happened by 1987. And then they started to breed them in captivity, and they were successful that by 1991, there was enough black-footed ferrets produced in captivity in the zoos that we can start putting them back out into the wild for reintroduction. And so the site I work at, mostly in South Dakota, is the second release site starting in 1994. It's a process, and some years are really successful and some years are setbacks. And so the way I think of this is that as humans, we unraveled the prairie dog ecosystem over 150 years. So just putting this thing back together overnight isn't gonna happen. This is gonna take some time and some dedicated effort, and this is a long game.
Over time, more and more ferrets have been released into the wild. In 2025, Tenere Taylor from our Constant Wonder team was able to participate in a black-footed ferret release party. and she's here to tell us a bit about her experience.
Out under a late afternoon sky in a wide open desert place called Coyote Basin, 35 miles south of Vernal, Utah, I joined up with a group of about 30 people to witness what can only be described as a most hopeful endeavor: the release of captive-born black-footed ferrets. A third of the group were eager children, but I was eager too, knowing that these are the most endangered mammal of North America. Justin Shuvin gathered the group to give instructions. He's a biologist from the National Black-Footed Ferret Conservation Center outside of Fort Collins, Colorado.
Get to hold one. Don't you worry. We have a lot of ferrets here today. They did that. That's the famous black-footed ferret bark. And it makes everyone jump. If you worked with ferrets for a decade, you will still jump because it is just so sudden and so loud. They will do that a lot, especially when you're releasing them.
He was standing in front of a large white SUV, which he'd left running since ferrets, as nocturnal creatures that live underground, well, they're sensitive to heat, and so the 29 ferrets that he'd driven more than 350 miles were chilling in their cat-sized pet carriers.
We have 25 kits that were born this year, so they're in between like 3 and 4 months old, and then we have 4 adults.
So is this an adult?
That's a kit.
That's a kit.
It's an angry kit. Black-footed ferrets, what do they eat?
Prairie dogs.
Yep, just prairie dogs. Like 90% of their diet is prairie dogs. So we're gonna find a nice burrow and we're gonna get the crate lined up to the burrow. And then we'll have like gloves on and we'll have a little stick. I hope all you guys know just how lucky you are. There are very few people in the world that have released an endangered species, let alone the black-footed ferret, into the wild. So pretty cool day for you guys. This is a species that's not only endangered, it was almost extinct. And when it was thought to be extinct in the wild, there were none in zoos, none in captive breeding programs at all. So all of these guys, they were born in captivity. They were born either at our place or we have 5 different zoos that also breed. And then they go through a preconditioning process. So they live outside in outdoor pens in prairie dog burrows, get to hunt live prairie dogs, kind of like ferret boot camp. And then if they pass, then they're ready to be released into the wild. So these all passed. And so I loaded them up this morning and then drove out here to meet you guys. On every crate, you'll have a piece of tape that says who the mom was and stud book number 11492. So this is the 11,492nd animal to be born in the program. There were only 7 animals that started the original program. So over 11,000 born from those 7 animals. We had an awesome breeding year this year, like most successful since 2009. We had 400 animals born. We're releasing over 300 probably. Good number of them going here and South Dakota, Montana, Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas. It's a good year. Good year for ferrets, hopefully. All right, divide up some animals and get to the fun part.
Once we coaxed the ferrets out of their tubes, they shot right down their burrows, maybe popping quickly back out to snag the frozen hamster, and then making a hasty retreat back underground. Or maybe they just really did like their accommodations. We turned our attention to the penultimate release of the evening. This time, the ferret darted out, briefly disappeared into a burrow, but then made a quick turnabout and shot past all of us, once again above ground. It stopped on a mound about 20 yards away, and then it froze in place, a furry little statue against that luminous azure sky. And this little guy, he stood stock still for more than half an hour, only ever moving his head, repeatedly making eye contact with each one of us.
Wow. Getting to release black-footed ferrets into the wild sounds like such an awe-inspiring, wonder-filled experience. Conservationists like Travis and Justin are helping to restore the black-footed ferrets to their environments and are great examples of how we all can help animals and better connect to the natural world.
hunted ferrets faced a lot of threats and couldn't live on prairies like they love to do best. Conservationists helped them grow healthy and strong so they could be released back where they belong.
A quick word for you parents. I'm Marcus Smith, host of Constant Wonder, which is the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff we know kids are going to love, but you may be wanting more. We've got a whole episode devoted to the black-footed ferret species. If you want to hear the full presentation, go find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. It's called Returning Ferrets to the Wild After Near Extinction. We actually think you're going to love more than just one episode of our podcast, which is an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small, the kind of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we think you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman Darrington, with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.